F1, number 25A.
Now, we have done Zechariah yesterday, and Zechariah, in its structure, is a bit more complicated than the others, and so it may have been a bit more difficult to follow, though when one sits down then during the next winter and summer and so on and ponders them, you will see how natural everything is and that it isn't at all complicated. Something new is always complicated, even if it's simple and easy. As long as it's new, it's always complicated to the human mind. You know, I was reminded that some student said, well, that has happened over and over and over again. When we knew that God is good, and John Dolly came along and said, well, you know, you can't always have God, you must see God as a seven, and it's sevenfold shading, and those shadings are all different. Then we felt, why seven then if we can do it in one? And so it seemed complicated, but the moment we began to study mind and the ideas of mind and spirit and the ideas of spirit and began to study the synonyms, and when we began to know something about them, we wouldn't have given it away for anything in the world. We wouldn't have said, we wouldn't like to part with it anymore. And so that which seemed at first complicated has become dear and loving and warm and practical to us. And so it was that when we knew a little bit about the ideas of mind and the ideas of spirit, that John Dolly would suddenly come along and say, but you know, you can blend them. You can blend each one with the seven. So many of us felt, why to have it complicated now where we have got somewhere and to have it again more complicated? Why that blending? After all, God is one and God is all. And so when those who were willing to put down that resistance and began to think about it and ponder about it, what the blending is, we began to feel how easy it is, how natural it is, and how practical it is. And after a while, the student felt, I can't go along anymore without blending the synonyms. Just one synonym alone or one idea alone just doesn't mean very much until I blend it. So that which has seemed very complicated at one point after a year or so seemed to be most loving, and we would never like to part with it again. And then when we knew that, John Dolly would come along and say, but you know the synonyms, they have not one order, they have four orders. So I have four. And those, the remnant that stayed, and investigated it and began to think about it and so on, they began to see the beauty of it and the naturalness of it, the practicability of it, and we just felt we wouldn't like to part with it anymore. We don't want to go back anymore. It isn't complicated, it's practical. And so we always will go on, always, or else the infinite is limited. The infinite is infinite, then vision goes on, and once we have touched the nature of science, which demands categories and classifications, and then the blending of categories and classifications, so now we begin perhaps to see again another blending, where we begin to see that these four orders, that they can use in many ways, that they can be used from many standpoints within the categories of the matrix. And so at first it may seem complicated, but the remnant who will stay with it and doesn't go back, doesn't backslide on science, they will just devote their time again for a year or so, and then after a year they will come back and say, I wouldn't like to part with it for anything in the world. So one has to see these things from time to time, that one knows that it's only an argument of the undisciplined mind, and that mind which wants to take being as a chaos, as disordered, as just one heap of things, and not to have it classified and scientifically analyzed. And it's just this undisciplined mind that tries in each one of us to resist the progress of science. So if it has been a bit difficult yesterday because of the many ramification and classification and standpoints, don't be worried about it. I am amazed, really. I tell you the truth, I was afraid to come to London. If I have been able to call it off, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have done it. I just was afraid. I just thought, well, I won't be able to show the simplicity of it as I feel it, because it looks so complicated. You see? And also I could see all the earnestness and the sacrifice that has been given to come here by each one of you. I know many of you personally and the circumstances personally. I just felt that enormous sacrifice that is given to be here. I just felt, will I be able to give in return what they expect? But now I have a feeling that it has gone much, much easier than what I ever had hoped it would. I'm quite amazed how willingly and lovingly thought here is willing to go the way of science and not just of feeling, and of earnest investigation and earnestly considering the nature and structure of science. And that has made me enormously happy about this whole session. I never expected, and I don't need to expect it, and that's not the purpose of this week, that you will go home and say, now I have it. It's too much to get it just in its entirety or even in its depth. But the main thing is that mind has come to you and to me and to everybody as the Christ of mind, which says, I enlighten your thought. I enlighten your thought to the point where it is willing to accept the Christ message of the prophets, not as a text, not as a veiled text, but as a scientific exposition of the Christ translations. That's beautiful if we have achieved just this point, because we know that the moment mind has touched thought, to be willing to be scientifically trained, then we are off. Then afterwards comes spirit and just loves it and ponders it, and then it develops it, and then it strengthens it, and then it orders it, and things separate them out, it orders itself out. And so soul always will come to each one of you and to me, because soul has a Christ, and will make this search definite. We'll make it very definite, very certain, very clear cut, you see, so that there is no misunderstanding about it. And the moment that it becomes more definite in thinking, the various standpoints become more clear and clearer, then principle has a chance to break into our thought. And principle is always at work to you and to me and at every place, wherever we shall be the next year. But that principle will work as a principled idea, as a system, and will just slowly, gently, lovingly relate these spiritual facts which we have become clear about, relate them into one whole, bring them together. After having had the analysis of it, it will just synthesize it again into the one system. But then it is a one system, and no more just a one pile or a one heap, a one system. And then when we begin to see that everything in the universe is gathered together in one system, be it in the spiritual or in the moral or in the material, be it in the nature of truth or of belief, everything then will be gathered into one system, and there is nothing outside of it. And that gives us a new sense of being. The newness of life breaks in. And we begin to see that which we have seen always with our unillumined mind. We see them with that holy inspiration from a quite new different standpoint. That's what the eyes have seen before, they will see even afterwards. But the spiritual sense in us will get a new light on everything, and so a new life is breaking in on us. And that new life is putting to shame all the misconceptions that have been going on in our consciousness. That's because truth is breaking in on our consciousness. And it's just correcting all the misconceptions and misapprehensions with it which we had within consciousness, and just turns and turns and turns consciousness until only that reigns which is right. Then we get the touch of the angel of love which comes to us and says, now you have found peace and rest within you. That will happen. See, the moment within us mind touches us and awakens in us the scientific aspect of things, so that the mind is willing to investigate being scientifically. Now, we go on to Malachi. Malachi now is the last of this fourth triad, and we have seen that fourth triad, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, have one common denominator, namely the building of the temple, or I would say the temple. And Haggai shows with what ideas we can build the temple and must build the temple. Then Zechariah has shown us that what is the form, the structure of this temple, that it is a calculus of ideas, that a true temple is a calculus of ideas. And now Malachi will show how we serve in that temple, with what mentality we serve in it. First we build it in Haggai. In Zechariah, then we look at the structure of the building, and then in the third we go into the building and see that we can only serve in that building with that consciousness which is true, with the calculus of reality. So the aim of this fourth triad, you see, is column 4, so to say, where the prophets tell people that all activity, all operation must have one aim and one purpose, namely to operate in its principle, and to operate for the principle, for the principle. And that to operate for our own sealed houses. Not to operate for any other purpose than for the glory of God. If that aim and animus is within us, that we work and do things for the glory of God, then all our human activities, whatever they are, wherever we are, if in a family, if in a business, if here, if there, will always be subordinated by this big aim of glorying God. This fourth column, as the operation of the idea for the glory of principle, is first stated in as its divine intention in Haggai, where they say, all right, then first build that consciousness. Then, as the bee, we saw that Zacharias shows them that there must be a complete translation of their material calculus, the material consciousness, into a divine consciousness, into a consciousness of the infinite calculus. Therefore we had there the four orders. And now, having gained through Zachariah a full consciousness, see, a completely full, divine, complete consciousness, where he ended that every little thing in Jerusalem had the name written on it, Holy unto God, that even the bells of the horses and every pot in Jerusalem had the name of it, Holy unto God, so that each idea of consciousness is now operating for the glory of God. Then comes Malachi in and says, and this consciousness, this complete consciousness, is the only consciousness with which you can serve God, or which you can put at the service of God. To say, on the other hand, see, we have here A, B, C, the C, where we try to epitomize it, that this Christianity sense just renders the disappearance of evil and the appearance of good inescapable, where he shows that everything which tries to approach and serve God, not in its with its full consciousness, but with a consciousness of lack, cannot succeed and must disappear. That only if we serve in this temple, if we serve God with a full consciousness, as a full idea, that only then really God will hear us and bring his blessing on us. We can see what an enormous important point, you see, Malachi is stressing here. Namely, the point which really knocks down all those old religious beliefs, that you can approach as a sinner, as a deceiver, as a half-hearted man, as a mortal, that you can approach as that God and expect that God will hear it and will bless us for it. You see, all religions say, well, you are a sinner, or you have lack, or you are depressed. Well, just go to God with that, and that God will help you. Whereas the prophets have begun to see that God's eyes are too pure to behold evil, so they cannot hear, so God can never hear a consciousness which has some lack, which is lacking health, which is lacking joy, which is lacking peace, which is lacking sinlessness, which is lacking joy. It just can't hear that, because there is no unity between God and lack. There is no unity, there is no spiritual agreement between God and the consciousness of lack. So a consciousness of lack can, no matter how much that consciousness cries to God and begs God and falls on the knee and so on, can never touch God and can never get an answer from God and can never get a blessing from God. See, that is very, very strange to ordinary theological thinking. Very strange. But the prophets who really have that big message of the Christ, where they want to show that Christ illustrates the spiritual agreement between God and man in his image and likeness, you see, in his image and likeness, as they want to show that, they must now also show that whatever is not in his image and likeness can never serve God. And because it can never serve God, God can never help them. Well, people will say, well, what's the use of God Almighty? If I have lack, and if I am sick, and if I feel right down and troubled, if I come to God, my Father, and the Father will just help me. Well, that's what Malachi wants to show, you see, and he's the last of the Old Testament, and he bridges over to the New Testament, to Jesus, where Jesus always came, Jesus always demonstrated everything from the standpoint that I and my Father are one, and that I can do nothing except what I see as my Father do. He had that standpoint, that he never approached God in any other way than whole, because he knew that lack would never touch God. So Malachi prepares thought now and shows that in order to serve God in the temple, that the Christ must first come to us and to each one of us and bring to disappearance and wipe away within us that belief that we can serve God in any other way than complete, than in a complete consciousness. And you can see why Zechariah had to go before, because Zechariah before had shown us what the complete consciousness is. He had shown how the Christ will not rest until a false consciousness, an erroneous consciousness, a material consciousness is transformed into that consciousness which accepts the calculus of being. Then Malachi comes and says, always go with the fullness of this calculus of being to God. Whatever you do, wherever you serve and however you serve, always go with that full consciousness to God. And so Malachi shows that the Christ will work and work on us and bring to disappearance our sense that we can approach God and serve God in any other way except in a full and complete way. Then Jesus comes and says, on that basis I demonstrate being. You see, now he links over to Christianity and says, now I accept that full Christ of the 16 standpoints, I accept that full Christ, and with that full Christ, and with that fullness of my being, where I know I'm the Son of God, and not a bit less than the Son of God, I'm going to demonstrate that this Christ is true. And then the textbook comes and begins the whole story with the chapter on prayer, exactly again with that sense that, as you, most of you who have been through the textbook story, remember how she points out in prayer that we can only pray to God with a full sense of God, or else God will never hear us. That we can only approach God always in the fullness of the idea. But what Mrs. Eddy shows in comparison, say, to Malachi, is this. Malachi shows that idea, you see, only insofar that he shows the Christ will work on us until we begin to realize that we must approach God in its fullness. But the chapter on prayer says, and I show you how you can do that, and what it means to approach mind in its fullness, and what it means exactly in all detail to approach spirit in its fullness, and what it means to pray to soul in its fullness. You see, the explication of it. Malachi only first comes and hammers on that old theological belief in us that if we have lack, we go and take that lack and lay it before God and say, now, what are you going to do with that? And we are quite surprised that God says, I don't hear you. I don't know what you're talking about. I just don't hear anything. Because my ear only hears what is good and what is complete and what is full. So if God is complete and fulfilled and whole, then it can only hear that which approaches Him in the same nature. That's the Christ, that spiritual agreement between God and man in His image and likeness. So Malachi brings to disappearance everything which is not approaching God in the image and likeness of God. Is that clear, the standpoint? Huh? It's one of the most gorgeous prophecy, you see, in its depth and in its practicality for us. And he makes it quite clear that he has always more or less a rhythm, a circle in it, you see, that begins and ends at the same place. More or less saying, always, God has a Christ that comes to each one of us and asks us to accept that we are whole, to accept that we are whole. And then, coming down to us to accept that we are whole, he says, now come with that wholeness to me, back to God, and then I give you wholeness. So is that, see. I think in the Bible this is shown very nicely, really, when Jesus tried in the Epistle of John to show that. You see, he said, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. See, that's what Malachi tries to enforce. Jesus afterwards, here in the Gospel of John, stated it as a law and used it as a law. Malachi didn't do that yet. He just shows that this law must be enforced first on us, you see. Must be first put. But it is exactly this, that no man has ascended up to heaven. He says no man can really serve God and serve and operate in the principle except that he came first down from heaven. Well, that which comes down from heaven is always complete and not full of lack and full of disease and sin and gloominess and depression and so on. It's always that which is complete. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So little by little, you see, the prophets bring us there. Where Mrs. Eddy really builds then afterwards, namely on the fact of perfect God and perfect man. But to bring us in consciousness first to that point where we know what that is, the prophet shows that whole sense of the Christ bringing about this standpoint. Or in John we read, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. But again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So it is that eternal circle, which now Malachi, as the last of the minor prophets, as that one which gives a link over to the New Testament, is showing that only really that which goes out from principle, and therefore is like principle, can therefore operate truly and so operate for the principle and establish a true sense of being. Now, Malachi means the messenger of Yah, or my messenger, or also my angel. It's again indicative of the Christ as the divine message which comes from God and speaks to human consciousness. And again, we find, as always after the exile, when the scribes really became more prominent in Israel than the priests, where the thinkers, you see, the teachers, became more important in Jewish religion than the priests and the Levites. Where the scribes began to reason with the people.